Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. That is, welcome new listeners and our old listeners, who we call Goombas. It is I, the main host and front man for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the Reverend Godfather. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an intro today before the main part of the show, because I felt like I needed to give you all a little bit of explanation of what's going to happen and why. On this show this week is pretty much Jo Colton and her friends from the Girls of the Finest, and they're both, her and her two friends are also part of a bigger group also known as the Finest. Both are G.I. Joe themed cosplay group, which is awesome. They were on to not only to tell you, me, all about cosplay, but to share about the charity that the Girls of the Finest and the Finest are kind of part of. And which, what they do is every year they raise funds to go to a particular military organization or a charity work that, or a charity organization that works with the military, like the USO, or in this case, I'll let them explain it further, in reference to canines being retrained for PTSD. I'll let them fully explain it. I'll put a link in the description in reference to where to find them, and where their Indiegogo campaign is, so you could find them. Please, if you cannot donate to their Indiegogo, please share their websites and so forth and so on, or point them to this podcast, and we'll be happy to let them, that person, know where to find all the proper information. So that being said, you'll also hear a little bit, because this was a Skype recording, you're going to hear it was almost like a three-way Skype recording. You're going to hear an odd echo, more than usual. And you'll also hear me talk about a YouTuber called Adam the Woo. He's a great guy. He's a nice guy. He's a sweet guy. Or seems to be that way with the videos I've watched. You hear me tell him, if you see Adam the Woo at Dragon Con, bug the hell out of him. It's me saying, you know, say hi and so forth and so on. Hell, I'd say that if you see us at a show, me at the show, or any show or convention or so forth and so on, I welcome you to bug the hell out of me. So, either way, here's the main show. I'm going to step away and you'll hear me do another introduction and introducing Joe and the gang. So, I hope you enjoy it, and not to mention you'll hear them be a little distracted and despondent. It's because they're getting ready for Dragon Con as we spoke at that day, so they seem a little just disjointed. So again, and they just launched the Indiegogo campaign that day, so a lot of things going on for them, so they're more than welcome to be back on the show when things calm down and everything else. They're more than welcome to be on the show. So either way, here they are. All right, everyone. Welcome new listeners and regular Goombas to Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Here with me, I have several of the girls, as much as I don't want to refer them to as girls, but that's part of their group, as Girls of the Finest. I have with me Mary Mercenary and Jo Colton, she wants, if I'm pronouncing her last name right, and there's one other in the room. Who else is there? Announce yourselves. Introduce yourselves. So,
Maggie's in the background.
No, if she's able, wants to pipe in, she's more than welcome to pipe in with the group and everything else. She's more than welcome to be on the program. So, again, introduce yourselves and the organization you gals represent.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jo Colton. I'm the CEO of the Finest and one of the organizers of the Girls of the Finest charity calendar that we do each year.
Basically,
what is the finest in reference to what it does and everything else? To me, it seems like it's like the 501st, meaning it's a charity organization that helps a lot of people, but please clarify that.
So it's like the 501st except for G.I. Joe customers, and we're a canon group that does charity work for military organizations, and we try and help vets and active duty members each year by doing a charity calendar.
And well, what's this year's charity? Is there a specific branch, or I won't say branch, a specific group that the money goes to, or what is it this year?
So each year we pick a different charity. The first year we did it, we picked Wounded Warrior Project. The second year we did it was the USO, and this year we've chosen Canines for Warriors. And that organization takes sheltered canines, trains them, and partners them up with veterans to help them with their PTSD and other injuries. So we're actually helping two causes. One is sheltered animals, and the other is our veterans.
I know to kind of I don't want to say break character of the show, but what I'm going to do is probably after the show or sometime this week, I want to contact my stepfather down in Florida and let him know of you guys. He works with Purple Heart veterans, and he might know a few people down there and see if he could spread the word of Joe's Finest and the Girls of the Finest and see what can be done to help you guys out. So, I offer no guarantees, Joe and everybody else, but I'll at least let him know and see if what contacts he might have down there. So.
That's appreciated. Any little spreading the word helps.
I know I see you all over Facebook with you. I'm not sure who I know, at least you, Joe. Filming with cosplay. I would love to pick y'all's brain about cosplay if you guys don't mind. In reference, again, I know at least you, Joe, do G.I. Joe's cosplay. You've done Wonder Woman. You've done so much. Can you guys tell me a little bit about the basics of what goes into cosplay and what is cosplay for those who, granted, we're geeks here, we know what cosplay is, but for the person who doesn't know what exactly cosplay is.
Do you want to go, Maggie?
Oh, God.
Okay, so cosplay or costume play is what it is actually representing. It's when you find a character you like or want to be like most of the time, and you try to recreate their costumes as close as you can or do a spin on them. I know I do mostly like movie recreations. I started doing more comic stuff recently. But I mean, it's kind of different for every person. Some people do it for fun. Some people do it for money. Some people do it as a way to get more confidence in themselves. I've totally changed in the last 10 years from like when I started. Because I used to just like hide in the corner, and now I'm like, all right, everybody, let's do this.
I must want, even though we're recording the show, I do break character, I do break the fourth wall a little bit. This is not going to be your average Do You Like Chicken podcast. And I use that term lightly because there seems to be a lot of podcasts out there that when they go into an interview, it always comes out of in reference to, hi, do you like chicken? Is your favorite color blue? Do you eat toast? And so I tend to be a little bit harder hitting than that. So just relax, go with it. That's why I have the rule. If you don't want to answer a question, you don't have to. So, again, I see you guys always working on outfits for the upcoming shows. So what goes into making an atypical outfit? I know some of them is probably straightforward, get a pattern online and sewing it together. But what you gals seem to do a little bit more than that.
Most of the time, yeah, there's a pattern. A lot of times there's not, so we just have to make it up as we go. There's not really a typical process. I mean, every costume is going to have its own challenges, and is going to have a different way you approach it. It depends if it's something you're going to sew a lot, or if there's fabrication of armor, if you're going with body paint, if you have to have a wig. So, I mean, it really depends quite a bit on what the costume is.
Now, granted, I've seen you gals work with, like, or at least try. I don't want to say try. I'm sure you gals succeeded in a lot of ways with Star Trek cosplay, with the Klingon outfits, and that seems to be a lot of thick leather, and a lot of time goes into that. I'm sure, as you said, that there are some pieces that you cannot obviously create at your place, but in regards to helmets, shields, armor, as one of you stated, how do you gals deal with something like that? I know some people, it's kind of hard to make armor or helmets at home, so.
So most of the G.I. Joe helmets we get from Pit Viper Studios. Some people make their own helmets as well. As long as it's within the canon realm, we're pretty good with accepting it. So it's got to be, obviously, of a quality that isn't, like, you know, you haven't taped a piece of paper to your head, but.
I'm sure for a lot of beginners, that's what they might have to go with, but.
But we also help people upgrade their costumes. If they don't know how to put their costume together, we created field manuals or guides for them to, you know, pick and choose which character they want to do. And if they're doing like a trooper or an officer or a Crimson Guardsman, then they can just pull the field manual down, and it's in a PDF form, so they can print it out, and it's really easy to follow. It's basically head to toe, and then you just pick up what you need and alter what you don't need. And there's a lot of people in the community who sew, so there's a lot of people that will help with the sewing parts or making armor. So we're pretty close knit community.
Granted, I suffer from what's known as podcaster ADD, which means I tend to think of something that I didn't think of prior to a topic and all that. Going back, so like you said, we mentioned that the 501st, the finest is like the 501st. I know the 501st has a very strict guidelines in reference to what they have to do. What are the guidelines for the finest?
Well, it depends. We don't have multiple levels of, like, we don't have scribes or apprentices. We just have either you're in or your suggestions to upgrade, and then we help you with the upgrades, and then that's it. Or it's not canon, and we regret that you'd have to come back with a canon costume.
We
don't have as many customers as the 501st, so we're not that
super critical.
Yeah.
Oh, gals, cheer up! You sound like you're tired.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, we're getting ready for DragonCon. We're kind of in the crunch. A lot of us are trying to finish costumes. Joe and Maggie are probably starting a new costume, I'm sure.
It seems like they're always starting a new costume.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way. And it seems like the atypical thing for every cosplayer I know on my friends list on Facebook.
No.
I have had two suggestions starting a new costume this evening.
I'm sure, we're going to have to have a talk, you and I.
Why am I not surprised either?
No, I'm not. So, I mean, if we sound tired, it's because we are. we just started the Girls the Finest campaign, and that's a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and we're kind of a little frazzled right now,
So today's been, since you're starting, in essence, you're going into con mode, you're going into preparing for the con mode, you're doing kind of PR deals like this, and everything else. So I'm sure it's very stressful, not to mention Atlanta is not around the corner, especially for gals like yourself. So
Yeah. We are all traveling in different ways from different locations.
It's going to be fun trying to take all of what we need onto planes and various other modes of transportation. That's always fun.
I was about to say, that seems to be very amusing, trying to bring a batolith on a plane in reference. Oh, that's just... No, we're not trying to take everything over here, Mr. or Mrs. TSA agent. We're just... It's a batolith. Don't worry. We're cosplayers. That's all.
You know, I think at this point, I don't know how surprised TSA is anymore with stuff. I mean, I was really worried the first time I flew with toy guns. I was so nervous, and I let the lady at the counter know. Obviously, they were in my checked baggage, but I let the lady know, and she looked at me like, why are you telling me this? This is not something I need to know. You're an idiot. Continue on, and I mean, it's fine. So I'm sure they've seen all manner. I'm sure they've seen batolets before.
Yeah, I do know that there will probably be, more than likely, be a YouTuber down in Dragon Con this year. He goes by, I don't know if you heard of him or not, he goes by the name on YouTube, Adam the Woo, so you can feel free to pick on him all you want. So, he seems like a nice guy, so if you, I've never been to Dragon Con, so I hear it's the party con of the year, so.
It is. Party 24/7, but we're going to be doing a lot of photo shoots, collecting money for the charity, and costume changes, and meetups with people that we haven't seen in a year, or new people that haven't been to Dragon Con. We kind of like take them with us and make sure that they don't get lost or overwhelmed. So.
While I have you on the show, out of curiosity, what is the difference? I know you gals have done modeling before, and you do what you do with the Joe's Finest. What's the difference between someone like yourselves who do what you do and what's considered a booth model? I don't want to use the term booth babe because it might be a little bit derogatory to some. So, because I know you guys do a lot of promotional work at shows.
Yes. So, booth model,
we jokingly call ourselves booth babes a lot of times, but a booth model usually is just somebody who's hired to wear a costume and draw people in. They don't necessarily know about what it is that's like, besides the fact, like, this is what's for sale, like, come check it out. Most people that are really into whatever fandom they're into, they know all the little things that, like,
idiosyncrasies
that most models wouldn't understand. They're just there for the job.
That does.
In Star Trek, at the Star Trek convention, they had booth models for Mac makeup. They hired actresses that looked like characters from Star Trek, dressed them up, and they would just wander around and say their lines, and that's all they would say. No idea what Star Trek was. Some of them didn't know who the character was that they were portraying. They're just hired on to do a job. They're not actually fans.
So that was going to bring up my question I was going to ask later in reference to a lot of, I won't say the heat or hate, but in a way it kind of is from comic and show creators. What I mean by shows like Star Trek and Babylon 5, maybe Judge Dredd and so forth and so on, have been kind of openly vocal about some of the cosplayers out there that just dress up in costume and have no idea about the costume that they're wearing or about said creation, meaning, like you said, they're just hot, not necessarily booth babes, but they go to a show dressed up as a Vulcan, and they're there, hi, I'm a Vulcan, ta-da, you know, I know I'm saying it in a bad way, but that seems like what they're saying is they have no clue about the character, they're just dressed up because it's, quote-unquote, simple. That was me. You probably heard my phone go off. So, I should have muted it. I have Facebook going on. Because I have other things going on, I have my phone beside me, so I'm going to ignore that. So, but how do you feel about the, you know, the create the fellow, I won't say fellow cosplayers, but the creator saying some or a lot of cosplayers shouldn't cosplay because they might not know about that particular character.
Well, I think a lot of customers, it seems like, I know this is true in my experience, is I've been drawn to a character based on how they look, based on their costume, and that has kind of gotten me to go back and learn about the character and learn about the history and maybe read something or watch something I wouldn't have normally watched. So, I mean, there are probably models, cosplay models who really don't kind of get into whatever they're portraying, but I think for a lot of people that you're going to run into on the con floor, you know, they probably have spent a little bit of time getting familiar with the character, and that's something with G.I. Joe. I wasn't always super versed in G.I. Joe lore, and as I've been in the club, I've kind of learned more about it, and I was drawn in through the costumes, and it kind of grew from there, so... I would think more people were probably moving that way than just dressing up and being completely ignorant.
Yeah. And so, the reason why I wanted to bring that, because again, I have three great cosplayers, I won't say in the studio, but here online talking to them and to get these answers. I hope you gals don't mind that. another thing, I'm going to do two questions at once because it seems to be an issue. I won't say an issue, it developed into an issue, and a lot of cons have developed I've seen it over the past five, maybe longer years, but more so over the past 5 years, maybe 10 years, the convention is developing a, cosplay harassment policy, so forth and so on, I guess to deal with the creepers, the let's call them puppy dogs, in a way, because they just want to follow around gals like yourselves, in order to, for attention, for whatever reasons. They're creepers. I've seen them myself, I've seen programs about the creepers that just want to follow gals like yourselves around and just be annoying. Not to mention the jocks or the non-geeks that want to just pay for admission to harass women like yourselves. Any thoughts on that or in reference to these policies coming into effect? You could voice your opinion here.
I don't have that problem. I have this thing called the vibe, and you run away.
I don't know. It is really appreciated that conventions are taking that seriously. I had somebody at a con trying to take a picture down my corset top when I was Black Canary, and that was really alarming. I was with children when it was happening, so we informed con security, and that person was actually asked to leave. So. That is something that I think conventions are more aware of. But we also try to look out for each other, fellow customers, especially the females, we kind of look out for each other, because you don't always know when somebody is doing something inappropriate or trying to take pictures of you if your back is turned. So we look out for each other for sure.
Also, with that, going along those lines, what about do you have any words for the newer cosplayers who might be females and who wish to do something, I won't say like what you gals do, but might be a little bit, I don't want to say insecure, but they might want to do a Black Canary or a Wonder Woman or even something from G.I. Joe, but they might feel uncomfortable doing such because of these type of creepers doing this. Should they worry or?
It's always better, and I think it's more fun to costume with a group or with other friends. So I would definitely make that, you know, an option for that person. But you just kind of have to, you have to be firm and look out for, you know, we'll call them creepers. You have to look out for them. And if you see something that is making you uncomfortable or making someone else uncomfortable, don't be afraid to go to convention security or say something, or just say no to the person very loudly, make it clear that they are doing something that is inappropriate.
My co-host, Zombie Bunny, is she kind of describes herself as a beginning cosplayer. She wants to do a lot of things herself and sew things herself. And one of the things I've told her is that, because the place I've seen Joe more often, nothing against the friends of Joe, but the places I've seen Joe the most is, at AwesomeCon. I said, if you come to AwesomeCon with me and you are in cosplay, I'm gonna let you hang with Joe, because Joe is very friendly. Again, nothing against Joe, but, and you'd probably be hanging with Joe anyway, because Joe is very forthcoming with knowledge and cosplay, so forth and so on, and she could help you, because Zombie Bunny is a little bit of a introvert, and she's not really secure with, might not be secure with the costume that she has. That way, at least she knows somebody through somebody. That way she, you know, I'm not handing off using Joe like that, but it's someone that she could know and a friendly face, so to speak. You know, it's that way she has a group that to hang with in a way and give her support. That she, a lot of people have commented how good that she's done before, but it's that sort of thing. That way she's hanging with a group that she has some sort of knowledge with. So, I do thank Joe for at least this interview. Any tips for the new, that little bit out of the way, to kind of distance from that. Do you gals have any tips for the beginner or newbie cosplayer out there?
I would say take your time. You're going to make mistakes. Don't get frustrated. Don't give up. Just take a break. Ask around. There's so many tutorials online.
And YouTube is your friend.
YouTube is your friend. Even like different costume communities will just join them on Facebook, and they're very helpful.
Do you guys have any other than the Finest and Gals of the Finest, do you have any other recommendations?
It depends on the costume you're making, because there's different costume groups. Like, there's Disney princess groups, there's mermaid groups, there's like a Judge Dredd group, there's Star Trek groups that you can join. So there's like different groups. Just, you know, in the search bar, just put in Star Trek costuming, and then you'll see.
Now, do you guys prefer off, you know, for the new, at least the new person getting into cosplaying, to see if it's right for them to get something kind of off the rack versus making it themselves in a way?
Off the rack is okay, but a lot of the times it's really poor quality and you can just tell. It also won't hold up a lot of times for cons. If you're at a con, people are going to bump into you. Other people's costumes are going to snag on you. And if you're wearing something off the shelf and you bought it like Party City, it's more than likely going to rip off your body.
Then you have a bigger problem.
Yeah.
Then you're not wearing
clothes. That was going to be my, I think that was one of the issues that my co-host had, is that when she spoke to some of the, I don't want to say celebrity cosplayers, because apparently there, to me, it always shocks me when I hear such a thing, that there are celebrity cosplayers, that she, to her, it seems like some of these celebrity cosplayers seem a little bit snobbish and set offish compared to you ladies, because when she approached, she told me that when she approached one or two of these people in reference to how they did their outfit, we bought it off the rack at Party City. And she was like, wait, what? And you're this big person, how? So,
A lot of times, you know, professional cosplayers at cons are there to sell prints. You know, they're there to make their money back. They're essentially models and costumes. So, you know, they might not necessarily want to spend time detailing a costume that they may or may not have actually had anything to do with the making of, so.
I don't mean to disrespect you three ladies, but that sort of, meaning that these type of celebrities that just do it, it's like, I'm just doing this to get more attention, where you ladies do it, I made a new outfit, look what I hand-stitched myself. It's more of a geek versus I'm doing this for it's a different form of attention, meaning it's, I made this myself as a hobbyist, as a fan, versus I bought it for, as per, more people could look at me, in a way.
Well, they're going to do, what they're going to do if that's their job and that's how they make their money and they like the attention, then that's fine. They're going to do their thing and we'll do what we want to do. It's kind of, I look at them as two separate things. It's not, they're not better. They're just, it's just different. If it's a job to them, and that's fine if that's, if that's how they want to make their money. I don't have a problem with it per se.
I know you guys do a lot of work. It's just that I see it as more so as a art form in a way, because you are literally creating something unique. To kind of use the aspect of what Joe does with not so much the Judge Dredd aspect of things, but with like the Star Trek and the Klingon uniforms, and working with that is definitely an art form, and a certain level of quality has to go into it, and knowledge. So, there's that. Just going over. wow, I'm going through a lot of stuff real quick. I didn't expect this. I expected to go a little bit longer than this. I'll go with some of the fan questions, and so to speak. What was the first outfit y'all did, or you that got you in? Into cosplaying.
Joe?
So I cosplayed a little bit before 2009, but it became like addicted in 2009. And my first one was the Baroness that I did. And that was in October of 2009. But before I'd done like as a dedicated costumer, 2009, my first one was the Baroness.
Wow, I was almost about to call you out on that, Joe. I was about to say, wait a minute, I know back in like 2000, when it was like, wait a minute, that was 2007. No, because me and my buddy went to Baltimore one year, we got a picture with one of the people in G.I. Joe outfit. It was a Baroness, so I was like, wait a minute.
She used to go by Spammers online. She was the Baroness in the area at the time. That's probably her.
I know. I've always seen G.I. Joe folks in around Baltimore when I go up there. I have nothing against Baltimore. My fans know that. It's just that I'm getting tired of Baltimore Comic Con. It's just when you've gone to it for close to 10 times, yeah, you're gonna get tired of it. No, I promote it all the time, though. It's another question a lot of that I got in from fans and other people is, what character would you love to do if you had the time, effort, and possibly funds to do?
Okay, I have no idea. I have a list 35 long, so.
I figured that would be the answer.
If
you had the funds, someone said, no matter what, it's completely funded. What would you do?
I would probably do either a Pacific Rim Jaeger pilot suit or a Dark Elf from Thor 2. Very armor heavy. And all of it's like 3D printed armor too.
Mary?
I would really like to do Artemisia from the 300 sequel. There's an outfit she wears at the end. It's leather, and she's got these metal gold spikes that go all down her spine, and she's got just a badass looking sword. I don't know leatherwork, and that seems like something kind of expensive to experiment around with, so but that would be if money was no option and I just had unlimited time to learn a craft, it would be leatherwork so I could make that outfit.
I would probably make a female guy suit.
And one of the other last questions I was asked, or a question to ask you fine ladies, what character won't you cosplay and why? Or is there a character you will not touch for whatever reason?
Anything where my stomach shows is not happening. Ever. Which knocks out a lot of costumes.
I like to keep my ladies tucked in. I don't really like exposing costumes, so I'll just
Leave it at that. Yeah.
I don't know.
she would do anything.
She does.
I don't know what I want to do. I probably would never do a Poison Ivy outfit.
See, I would never do Harley Quinn ever. If it was never.
Any version of the character ever.
Okay.
Wait a minute, were you guys there? When was it? 2000. Crap. Were you guys in Baltimore 2000? No, it wasn't 14. It was 2013, I believe, where one of the cosplayers was there in just a loincloth. Have you seen?
I've seen him at other cons.
Yeah.
He shows up to Virginia Comic Con wearing just a loincloth.
Is he some sort of barbarian, or is he just a regular dude in a loincloth?
Pretty much, it was just a leaf.
It's a leaf.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I was like, oh my god, they let him in here. I had to apologize to the female cosplayer behind me. Literally, I had to apologize to her. And she's like, why? And I was just like, turn around slowly. And after she did, she went, oh, okay, stare as long as you need to get that image out of your head. No, thank you.
We've seen some bad stuff. I mean, we see guys who don't have appropriate undergarments on all the time.
Please wear a dance belt. No one needs to see that. Oh, if you want to call people out right now, you're more than happy to. I'll take it.
No, our friends wear dance belts because they're respectful, decent human beings.
Yes.
If I could get a decent audio drop from that, I would definitely put that at somewhere where a dance belt is the most awesome thing I heard tonight.
Yeah, it's important.
It's not an image I want, but it was the funniest thing I've heard. Is there any costume tales you'd like to share with anybody? Good, bad, ugly, really ugly, nightmarish? I've got a list.
I think your funniest is your suit splitting during the parade at Dragon Con that year.
Two years ago, I was in the parade as the Baroness in my suit split from butt to crotch. And the real life Peter Griffin, who's a friend of ours, came up behind me and was like, hey, you're wearing your underwear. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then screamed because I realized that there was air conditioning coming up my butt.
Yeah. We were only halfway to that point.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was a long, long, long.
I told a few people if I was going to cosplay as anything, it would be the Con's Helper. I'm sure you ladies are familiar with these type of people. Or the one with the sewing equipment, duct tape, masking tape.
Yeah, the repair guys. Yes, that would be really nice.
But do you ladies have a favorite con to go to? If so, which is it?
Dragon Con.
I've heard so many stories of that, mostly bad though. I haven't heard that many good stories from Dragon Con.
It's definitely changed a lot over the last 9 years or so, since I've been going. It is a lot to deal with if you haven't been to a big con. But
it's an entire city that you take over.
I get to see a lot of people I don't see a lot. My con family. It's just Mardi Gras for cosplayers. Just hang out and have fun. You make your con fun or not. If you're going in thinking this is going to be awful because people told me so, it's going to be awful. You have to go into it expecting to have fun because you will if you make it for yourself.
It's also not a regular con. It's not in one location. It's like five main hotels, a whole building just to shop, and then the entire downtown area shuts down for like 5 days. And there's a parade. Like, what con do you go to that there's the city shuts down for a parade? Other than the Macy Day Parade, like, which is a one-day thing. This is like 5 days of pure debauchery and shenanigans.
But feel free to correct me, but the one con I went into it as a curiosity. It was Otakon. A lot of my friends and fans know that I will not go back to this show because the fellow fan base was very, very rude. I know, coming from a cosplayer aspect, I would like to hear things from your end. So I'm going to say things from my end. I would love to hear your side of the tale, so to speak, because I know it happens to you ladies a lot. We're talking about a show that has about a 90% cosplayer participation to it, and those there that are not in cosplay are taking pictures like a storm. And what happened to me was some of the cosplayers were very rude that I'm here to have a good time, stop, I don't want any more pictures. And my attitude back to them was, why did you show up today in costume? And I'd like to hear your take on that, because obviously some days you want just to wander around and shop. So what are your thoughts about people stopping you to take photos almost every 5 minutes?
I can't say no.
I mean, the only time I'll say no is if I have to sit down, or I'm going to pass out, I need to get a glass of water, or take off part of this costume because I'm overheating.
Or go to the bathroom. If you're on the way to the bathroom, you can say no. I mean, you have to, because you don't necessarily know why the costumer is telling you no. He or she might be about to pass out. They might need to get some water. They might really need to go to the bathroom because they probably haven't been able to go all day. So, I mean, the person shouldn't be rude to you.
8 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have rephrased it. I apologize. What should be the con etiquette for someone who's not in cosplay, going up to someone like yourselves that are in costume, in reference to a picture?
If there's a group of people already taking pictures, take away. If they are just standing there talking to someone, just go up and ask if they say no. Try to find them again later. Sometimes you just get burned out after a while. And some people can last longer than others.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the time it seems like we're pretty willing to take a photo. we put a lot of time and effort into these costumes. So, you know, I would say 90% of the time probably is perfectly fine. It's just if somebody says no, just move on. And because there's always going to be another person in costume to see and take their picture. And just it's just about respect on both sides. The costumer shouldn't be rude to you, and you shouldn't be rude to them. And we can all just we can all get along.
I know this is a little fun aspect. I love the aspect of going to cons and seeing some, going through the photos afterwards and see who in essence photobombed the photos I was taking. One year I was taking a picture of a random person. I don't remember what outfit this person was wearing. Just that I remember in the background, dun 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 dun, dun, someone in a Superman outfit decided to photobomb the photo. Have you gals photobombed other people's photos just for giggles?
All the time. Usually with a ridiculous face.
No. Only when intoxicated.
Which is how long? How many times?
Before 8 p.m., never.
Yeah.
And with Joe, make sure she's wearing her boots.
Yes.
We all know that incident from Awesome Con. She wasn't wearing her boots, folks.
Yes.
Yes.
Took them off.
I know you were in like mid-change, I think. Oh, no. You take off your heels.
Yeah, they were hurting.
So, since it's almost been about an hour, I think we could call it that. We had a lot of info, a lot of knowledge, a lot of tiredness. Where can our listeners go to find this campaign for the Girls of the Finest and the Finest themselves?
Search for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're kind of on everything.
So for the campaign, just go onto Facebook at Girls of the Finest, or if you want, go directly to Indiegogo, and in the search engine, put Girls of the Finest, and it'll pop right up. We're almost at 50% right now, so we've got a month left, and hopefully we can reach our goal and give some money to vets and help some dogs. The Finest, you can find at thefinestcc.com, and then on Facebook, The Finest G.I. Joe Costume Club.
I'll also include links to everything in our show description, so make things a little bit easier for people to find everything. Again, folks, if you have any questions for Joe or anybody, any of our guests, send them my way, and I'll be happy to filter them to Joe and the rest of the gang. Just send the email to longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook by searching for the Longcoat Mafia podcast. We're on Twitter at Longcoat Mafia, Instagram at Longcoat Mafia, and folks, we have a good evening and follow the advice from the Girls of the Finest. Do you guys want to say goodbye?
Bye. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
Again, that was Joe Colton and the gals from the Girls of the Finest. It was fun having them on the show. It was. Too bad I couldn't ask everything I wanted to ask. They had other podcasts to go on, other interviews to do for what they had to do. I wish I had them on for longer. I do wish them the best of luck and having fun and everything else at Dragon Con, comparing notes with different shows and so forth and so on. You heard me state in the show that I'm a little bit different than most podcasters, is that I favor a more of an interview style than a conversation style. I try to mix things up together. You also heard me joke about that. I'm not like, this is a like, Do You Like Chicken podcast, meaning that my questions tend to be a little bit harder, a little bit stronger than Do You Like Chicken. It's a standard I try to live up to. I hope you guys at home like that standard. But either way, it was fun having Joe and her friends on the show. I would love to have them back on when they're not so busy, not so stressed. But I'm not saying this in a bad way whatsoever. Every time I see them on Facebook, they're always making something new. They're always doing something exciting. They never sit still in a good way. Kind of makes me want to, like, would you just sit still so I can talk to you for a few minutes about cosplaying and what you enjoy. But they're doing great work. I do want to spread the word, and I encourage you, our listeners, to spread the word about what the gals of the finest and the finest are doing, because they are doing great work. They are having fun cosplaying. One of the major things I want to tell everybody, because Baltimore Comic Con is coming up this upcoming weekend. Actually, it'll be, as most of you are hearing this, it'll be Baltimore Comic Con and Dragon Con are happening at the same damn time. But either way, if you see someone in cosplay, please just be polite and ask them for their picture to be taken. I know there are sometimes there are rude cosplayers for whatever reason. You heard them talk about that on the show. We didn't really get into that because I didn't know how much time they had or to talk and possibly chat and compare notes. So, again, Joe and the gals, if you are listening, you're more than welcome to be on the show again and have more of a relaxed conversation and try to talk about the different aspects of cosplay, to go into a little bit of detail. Hopefully, I'll have more questions to ask and more questions about cosplay. I tried to be as formed as possible. It wasn't easy to think up questions and topics to come up with within a few hours. So, I do thank you guys for putting me on the spot like that, because that's what happened with this show. I was let you listeners know behind the scenes. I was kind of notified like the day before, or that day, do you have any questions that you would like to, you know, everything just dropped and we want to be on your show. Okay. Can you do it Tuesday today? All right. So everything dropped that day. So again, it was fun having them on. I welcome them back on, the show. What more can I say? But again, look them up. All their links will be in the show description. This is going up as I'm done with this. It's going to encode and be put up. But either way, y'all have a good evening. If you have any questions for someone like Joe, a cosplayer, a regular person behind the scenes, and like Matt, who's a promoter, or someone like myself who works cons as a podcaster or a YouTuber, send your questions to longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and we will answer your questions on the upcoming show, or we will get them answered for you. We will read them on the air. All our past episodes, the whole archive is on our main website, which is longcoatmafia.podbean.com. Our Twitter and our Instagram is the same thing, which is Longcoat Mafia. Follow us and like us there. Not to mention, our Facebook page is the Longcoat Mafia Podcast. Just give us a look. We're there. Like and follow us there. I do live streaming every now and again on Facebook. Not so much YouTube, because it's kind of tricky for me right now. And Facebook is easier. So, either way, like our social media stuff, email us your questions, comments, smart remarks. We do read your stuff on the air, and we have done that before. Like us on, we are on iTunes and Google Play Music. Like and review us on iTunes. It does help us in some way, not with analytics. Not so much analytics, but in their algorithms, but it does help us get new followers and new listeners. So like us and review us on iTunes and Google Play. That's it. So you guys have a good evening, good morning, whatever the case may be. I hate to quote George Norrie, but it's the best response there is. if you're going to Dragon Con, if you're going to Baltimore, have a good time. Hey, if you're going, send us photos. And if you listen to our show, send us photos. We want to see what you're doing. We might actually share them on our Instagram account and our Facebook account. So, send us your photos. Send us, you know, tell us what you're doing. Brag to us what you picked up. We want to hear from you. So, either way, I'm out. See you next recording. Hear you later. So, later.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.